change your life by changing your mind. We're going to stand together and honor the Lord as we read Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we also may share in his glory. Father, today as we look at how to change our thinking, Father, help us to do it with your Spirit's power. Not 3 steps, not 13 steps, 1 step, trusting in Jesus Christ. Father, bless us today. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I became pastor of Burt Baptist Church in August of 1994. And just a few months after I became pastor here, I and my wife decided to sell our house up front in St. Charles that we lived in. That was my dad's house. He's the one that built it years and years ago. But we sold that house to my daughter, Heather, and her husband. And we decided we were going to put up a different house out back on a sand hill that had all kinds of huge pine trees. I mean, they're huge. But I was about 50 years old, just became a pastor. I felt my strength and my health were well. I felt my walk with the Lord was well. However, I could hardly believe how busy I became. I was working in the shop, machine repairman, between 48 and 54 hours a week. I had to prepare 3 messages plus a Sunday school lesson every week. I was in the midst of putting up a new house, and I realized after I had hired them to put up the house, it was a modular house, so they dug the basement. I had somebody put up the walls. But after they got everything in position, I realized I had to do the plumbing. Well, when you're working that many hours and that busy, things can go on in your mind. I slept wonderfully all my life long. I've never had a problem with sleeping. But with so much going on, suddenly I found myself late in the night, still looking at the ceiling in the dark, wondering, when am I going to go to sleep? I just had too many things on my mind. And I began to think not really wonderful thoughts, and I didn't begin to think the way the Lord thought, and I became an anxious person for the first time in my life. I never had that. And I also had a little depression thrown in. I had a friend of mine just about that time tell me that he was going through depression. I said, you don't have to go through depression. You just trust the Lord. And then I began to experience some depression. It was brand new to me. I don't think, now maybe I got depressed a little bit about a girlfriend, boyfriend, fight or whatever as a kid, but I don't remember ever being depressed until that time. I want you to know today, if you're here today and you're going through a hard time, maybe your thinking is all messed up and you're anxious about so many things. Maybe you're going through a time of depression. I want you to know, number one, you're not alone. Other people, it does not mean you're not godly. It means that you're weakened. I was weakened in my thinking by too many hours, too busy chasing after, you can say, this world, but I was trying to serve the Lord at the same time, and I just got distracted. When you admit that I have a problem with depression or being worried about things, it does not mean you're weak. It means that you're weakened. I want to tell you, it's so important you understand that, because there's a big difference between being weak and being weakened. A toothpick is weak. I can take a toothpick in my hand and snap it and nothing to it. But a mighty sequoia tree is extremely strong as long as it gets the water and nutrients it needs, doesn't have parasites living on it. But I tell you, a mighty sequoia can be weakened. It doesn't matter how strong you are in the Lord. If you get too much on your plate, it will weaken you. And so I want to tell you the third thing I want to speak about a little bit today. Jesus offers us hope. You don't have to stay weakened. You can come to him with any problem you have, whether it's worry or depression or whatever it is, and you can say, Lord, I know my thinking is not right now. Would you please help me get my thoughts in order according to your word? He'll never tell you no. It's so important you understand, what has God promised in this area? When we get, and everybody I know from time to time gets a little bit anxious, a little bit worried, sometimes a little depressed, it's not fun when you, yourself, or your family runs into a problem. And it's easy to get overcome with these things. It happens to the best. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we have a promise of God. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, that's through those precious promises, he's given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Folks, you can think God's thoughts after him. You don't have to be overcome by this life. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And so what I want to talk to you about, what has God promised? One of the things he's promised through the Apostle Paul is that you are going to be tested in this area of your thinking. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, he says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I want to talk to you about that quite a bit today, because there's two roads that God is offering you here. You can have your mind controlled by your own flesh. What does your flesh desire? Your flesh desires the things of this world. Fame and fortune and all the rest of the things that go with this world. Fun, 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 fun. That's a road that's leading to what? The road that's leading to destruction. Both in this life and in the life to come. But there's another road that he offers, and that's having your mind governed by the Holy Spirit. What does that life offer? It offers riches and knowledge and understanding and peace in this life and eternal life to come. So two different results from two different roads, but I want you to pay attention really today how the Lord describes those roads. The road is the mind, not the flesh. The mind controlled by the flesh, in other words, it's all about me, it's all about what I want, and Christians can do this too. This is not just non-Christian. Christians can get so caught up in this world that we lose our peace and our joy and our hope, and we get all frustrated with what's going on right now. I mentioned it was building the house and doing the plumbing. The Lord instructed me as I prayed about this thing that just maybe Jerry Larkin needed some help. And so I had a plumber friend at work who was a Christian, and I didn't ask him to do the plumbing for me. I said, can you come out and just instruct me? Because my mind from no sleep and all the other things going on, I couldn't concentrate. And that's what too much time on the flesh will do. It'll take away your ability to really figure things out, what's important and what's not important. So he just came over and he instructed me how to run the pipes and how to put them together. And then I started doing it and I got a little more peace. But the Lord wants you to know that worldly pleasures like eating too much. I mentioned before in this church, when I have ice cream, I don't want just a little. I want a big bowl of ice cream, okay? That's what the world goes after, and drinking and fooling around doing all those things, money, 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 power, power, power. Those things lead to destruction in all of our lives. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, very clearly the Lord says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Now, he's not talking about the beauty of the Grand Canyon or anything like that. He'll explain to you what he's talking about, the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, here it is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And so Paul is saying there's another road. You don't have to go down the road of anxious thinking, of constantly being led by what you want. You can determine, I'm going to live in a different way. I'm going to live my life according to what my Father in heaven wants. How long has it been since you asked the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do? That's a hard question because the answer is you're going to get an answer. If you ask that one, he's going to answer you. That's the first question the Apostle Paul ever asked the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? And he didn't like the answer because the Lord told him he's going to suffer greatly for his name. Folks, this is important to understand. When you say, Lord, would you lead me in what you want me to do, it's not going to be all roses. It's not all going to be sunshine and great. Some of it's going to be very difficult. But you're going to be going through it for the Lord's glory, finally, and for your own good. We're going to be greatly pleased that we live that kind of a life. So one road, the road of thinking about yourself first, always putting yourself first, leads to destruction. Now, if there's a Christian that's anxious and worried, you're not going to lose your salvation. Jesus said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. But you are going to lose your joy of life. You are going to lose a peaceful mind. You are going to lose some relationships. Very important you understand that. But the other road, the road led by the Spirit, leads to life. Life like Jesus said, I've come that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly. It'll bring you great joy in this lifetime. He doesn't say the body governed by the flesh. He says the mind governed by the flesh. Have you ever heard the old saying, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he? That's absolutely true, folks. The way you live is governed by the way you think. And if you think it's all about you, that's the way you're going to live. But if you live saying, I am God's creation, God made me in my mother's womb, God created me just the way he wanted me to be, because he's got specific works for me to do, then your question is, Lord, what are those works? I understand what my strengths are, and I understand what my weaknesses are. But Lord, what would you have me do with what you've given me? Folks, he won't hesitate to answer you. The truth is in the Word. We see over and over in the Bible, that's why Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 38:10, this is what the sovereign Lord says. On that day, thoughts will come into your mind, and you'll devise an evil scheme. Folks, the things that we plan start here. And we go from here down to our hearts, and then we act out through our flesh. If we can control the mind through God's power, I can't control my mind myself, but I know somebody who can. If we'll ask him, he's more than willing. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 17, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I've given willingly with honest intent. And now I've seen with joy how willingly your people have given to you also. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in our hearts of your people forever. And keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure which I have provided. David prayed for their thinking to stay faithful. Because as soon as you start thinking thoughts that are contrary to God's word, guess what? You're going back to the flesh. You're going back to the fact that it's all about me. So it's important we understand these things. In Romans chapter 12 again, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And it's not in the verse, but I want to put it in, for you. Do you understand? God has a good and pleasing and perfect will for you that he had planned out before the foundation of the earth, and he wants to show you what that is. But you have to give yourself to the Lord with all your heart. When you do, you will find what he has in mind for you. There's an old song sung by Sister Hazel. That was what they called her group. It was called Change Your Mind. And some of you may remember that tune. You may say, well, that's not that old. I got some news for you. You're getting older than you think, because that song was popular over 20 years ago. Folks, we're all getting a little older. But change your mind. And the whole idea is, if things aren't going the way you wish they would, maybe it's time to change your mind. Maybe it's time to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit and let him truly be Lord of your life. He will give you all the guidance you need for life and godliness through his Spirit. The problem is, we keep fighting against it. Verse 2 of Romans chapter 12 again. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you know that? Do you know as you sit here today what your Heavenly Father has you here for, what you're supposed to be doing, and how you're supposed to spend the rest of the days of your life? Now, He may instruct you further down the road, but He wants you to know that today. And it comes with renewing your mind. So renewing the mind determines certain things you must learn. Number one, you must learn discernment. Discernment, if you don't know exactly what the word means, discernment is the ability to recognize what is not obvious. It's not obvious to mankind that there is a God in heaven. People have to be instructed in that. Really, you talk to young kids coming out of our high schools and colleges today. Where do they think life came from? There was this big boom. And then there was the earth, and it was hot, but eventually it cooled down. And then the oceans formed themselves, and all the land formed itself, and life just started. It's not obvious, but God has revealed to it. And so it's important we change the way we think. If you look in the mirror, there's some thoughts that are very obviously wrong. If you looked in your mirror this morning and you said, I am a worthless person, folks, that's terrible bad thinking. That's fleshly thinking. That's going to destroy you because it's 180 degrees opposite of what God says about you. In Psalm 139, verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Folks, you should look in the mirror and say, I am God's son or daughter. I matter. God has a purpose for my life. He has things He expects me to do. And Lord helping me, I'm going to be doing those things. Folks, you are not worthless. If a guy cuts you off in traffic, and the first thing that goes on in your mind is, man, I wish that guy was dead. That's going to bring some bad actions in your life because you're going to speed your car up, get in front of him, and cut him right off. Folks, it won't go well because you could very well get in an accident and cause great distress and trouble for your whole family. Those are obvious things, but other thoughts are not so obvious. Other thoughts need some real discernment. I used to think humility was just thinking of myself in a humble way. And somebody at work might say, well, Jerry, you really fixed that assembly line and it really runs well now. Thank you so much. I said, well, there's other guys that are a lot better at that than I am, but thanks. I'd always be putting myself down a little bit. And I realized after a while, just take a compliment. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I really appreciate you noticed that. Folks, it's important to know what humility really is. Humility is thinking less about myself and more about others and more about my Lord. It isn't putting yourself down. It's realizing that I have a place in this life, but I'm not the center. So how can you develop discernment in areas of life that maybe you're not quite so quick in? Number one, you can develop discernment by just simply praying for it. Lord, would you give me a discerning heart to know what's real and what's not? In James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, wisdom is the ability to live skillfully in this life with an eye on the next life so that you're living skillfully to prepare for that. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, I'll just tell you the truth. If you were to pray today and ask me to pray for you, I would like to be a billionaire. I would pray for you, but I would pray, Lord, if it's your will. Because some people with $1 billion would self-destruct. Having a lot of money is a test, just like everything else in life, and most people would fail it. But if you ask the Lord for wisdom and you say, Pastor, would you please pray that I get wisdom? I would pray with you for wisdom, knowing that that's God's will. The Bible says if we pray according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we're going to get the answer we desire. Folks, this thing of praying for wisdom and discernment is extremely important. So how else can you get discernment? By reading your Bible. I know it's lots of work. It takes time. I just don't have time. Folks, you need to make time for the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Verse 12. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Now this word, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When you read the Scriptures, whose thoughts and attitude is the Bible going to judge? It's your thoughts and attitudes. This book is alive. And when we read the Scriptures, God will say, now what David just said there, are you doing that? What Paul said over here, are you living that way? What Jesus said, is it affecting the way you think? Folks, that Bible is alive. I've read it, I don't know, 40, 50 times. I don't even know how many times I've read through it now. But I want to tell you, every time I read it, I see something that I've never seen before. Now, I've seen it because I read it, but I didn't comprehend it. The more you get into the Word of God, the more the Word of God is going to get into you, and it's going to change the way you think. I praise God for it. That Greek word there for judges is kritikos, and it's where we get our word critical. The Bible is critical of the way you and I think. When our thinking differs from what God says, we need to change the way we think. We'd like to say, well, Lord, you ought to change. He can't change. It isn't that He maybe not want to change, but He can't. He's God. God can't change. And so if we're going to get along with Him, we're going to be in harmony, we have to change. And so Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14. Again, this is discernment, knowing the timing. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. In other words, you go to your neighbor's house at 4 in the morning. Hey, Bill, I just wanted to tell you how much I love you. You're a great guy, Bill. And the kids all wake up, and the baby's crying, and his wife says, what in the world is Sam doing out there? You're saying something really nice, but the timing is terrible. Folks, I used to think as long as you said the right thing, it was good. And then I realized from reading this, no, it's not always good to say the right thing at the wrong time. You may be speaking the truth, absolutely true, how to solve this person's problem. But they're not looking for a solution yet. They just want to share their heart. It's not the time. And so discernment says, I want to speak the truth, I want to speak it in love, and I want to speak it at the right time. Folks, it's so important. If you push, even the gospel, if you push the gospel too hard, you're going to bruise the fruit. You have to know when to speak and when to back up and just pray. Sometimes it comes from discernment. Third, you can develop discernment by surrounding yourself with people who have discernment. Folks, some people really have discernment. They can see right through. I don't know how they do it. I don't have that gift. I have some discernment. But some people, just bumping into a person, can say, that's a person to look out for. I don't know what's up, but there's something trouble. I've seen it, and I have to admit, they can see things that I can't see. And so when you surround yourself with people with discernment, you learn how to become discerning yourself. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." One of my greatest blessings in life, after I became a Christian, was to leave my friends that were not discerning at all and begin to hang with people that had some real discernment. Some of those people were older than I was, and so they had age and knowledge of the Lord. Some of those people were about my age that had walked with the Lord a lot longer than I have. I was 25 when I got saved. So some of those kids grew right up in the church. Their parents taught them the right way, and they were way ahead of me. Some of them were even younger, but they had godly discernment. You can learn so much from surrounding yourself with godly people who are walking with discernment. Renewing our minds, we need to replace bad thoughts, not get rid of bad thoughts, because bad thoughts are hard to get rid of. You need to learn how to replace them with godly thoughts. So, very difficult. If I were to say to you, "I want to go home today and have a big bowl of chocolate ice cream," but don't think about chocolate ice cream. Some of you, your mouth is already beginning to get a little wet. You're starting to think, "Oh, that would be really nice." If I were to tell you, "Don't think about chocolate ice cream," you're going to think about it. But if I were to say to you, "What I want you to focus on is how good you're going to look next spring break time, how good you're going to look because you didn't eat ice cream right now," you've replaced the thought. You're thinking, "I'm not going to worry about that anymore because I got this vision in mind. This is much more important than that thought." Folks, if you can learn how to replace thoughts that are maybe not so good with thoughts that are excellent, thoughts that are from God, you're going to be able to control that thinking. So you need to know what's got to go. There are some thoughts that we have that just have to go. I don't want to think those thoughts anymore. But I'm not going to try to stop thinking about it. I'm going to find something that's better to think about. It's so important we understand that. What can we replace it with? And so the Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." God tells us what to think about, and if we'll focus on that list and say, "You know, my worry about my house is not on that list." Those are not noble thoughts. Those are a man worrying about things that he shouldn't really be that worried about. In another 40 years, is what happened to me back then going to be much of a problem for me in about 40 years from now? It's not going to matter to a hill of beans. I'm going to be gone in 40 years, probably within 20. And so all those things we worry about and fret about, they don't matter. They matter a little bit now, but in just a few years, they're going to be so far behind us, it won't matter a bit. And so if it's not on the list, don't dwell on it. If you're thinking about something that's not noble, "My boyfriend, my husband cheated on me," don't dwell on it. Yes, you have to deal with the repercussions. There's things you're going to have to do. But you don't want to spend the rest of your life dwelling on those things. Replace it with something different. "My children are wonderful. We have great fellowship." I'm going to focus on that, and I'm not going to focus on the other. So the best source of good replacement of thoughts is God's Word. You know, the Apostle Paul, who wrote Philippians 4:8, before he wrote it, he wrote why it's so important. Before I pay the price of getting my mind in right focus with God, I want to know what's the benefit of it. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul tells us the benefit of it. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Now here's the benefit. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, you've got a choice. You can think and worry and fret and be anxious and depressed, or you can decide, I'm going to think God's thoughts after Him, because then He's going to fill me with His peace. And if I've got peace in my heart, when my head hits that pillow, I can go to sleep. I don't have to think all night long how I'm going to make things happen. God's going to make those things happen. I just have to do His will. And if I do His will, He'll fill me with His peace. I don't have to worry about one single thing in this life. But we continue to worry, don't we? We continue to be anxious. Oh, I hope this works out this week. I want it done now. And the Lord says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and they won't get weary. They'll walk and they won't faint. It's a question of who are we trusting? Are we trusting ourselves or are we trusting our Lord? It's hard work to think right, but it's worth the cost. It demands that you stop running your own life. It demands that you turn to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, how should I be thinking? I'm worried. I'm anxious. I'm depressed. I'm upset with life. Lord, what would your thought be for me? And if you ask in sincerity, He'll give it to you. So I'm going to wind it up today with this question. What are you going to do with what you just learned? I hope you're planning on doing something with it and not just let it sit on a shelf. Maybe it's time for you to lean into developing discernment. Surround yourself with good friends. Get into your Bible. Ask the Lord to give you discernment. Maybe you're going to make a commitment to start reading the Bible on a regular basis. I'm not telling you to read 15 chapters a day, but if you'll read just 3 chapters a day, you'll read through the Bible every year. It'll bless you, I'll guarantee it. How long will it take? Oh, man, it could take all... No, it doesn't take all day. It takes about 15 minutes. Maybe 20 if you're a slow reader, but it doesn't take all day. Get into the Word. Maybe you're going to take to heart the truth, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. If you've got friends that are constantly pulling you back into the old way of thinking, love them, pray for them, but don't hang with them because they'll pull you down. Be careful who your friends are. Maybe you're going to start memorizing a few scriptures. Some of the scriptures we mentioned today might be a real blessing for you. It might really change the way you think. When I'm driving down the road, I've got little verse cards that I've memorized over the years. I could be listening to the radio and hearing the news and all the depressing things going on, or I can be thinking about God's Word. Folks, don't memorize and then not review it. You go over it and over it and over it, you'll be surprised. That verse you memorized today and 3 years from now, finally you're going to get the total zest of it. I got to tell you how many times I've memorized verses, and it was an important verse to memorize, and I got the most of it, but suddenly the Lord opened my mind to what was really right there in front of me. What a rich blessing. In John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So, maybe it's time to make some commitments today. If you make a commitment today that you're going to do one of these things, I'm just going to request you, tell somebody. Tell somebody what the Lord has spoken into your heart. Tell somebody what your plan is and ask them to pray for you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much, not a little bit. We all need each other's prayers. None of us have it all figured out yet. We're still growing. We're still learning. We are literally children just a little older. Okay? So we got room to grow. Father, so grateful for your word that we need discernment. We need to be able to think your thoughts, to know that you're in charge, not us. We can rest in you. Your word says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Father, help us to come into that rest, that we're not in charge. We were never called to be in charge. We're your servants, Lord. Use us according to your will for your glory. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.